I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 28. Exodus, chapter 28. You might recall last Sunday evening we looked at the priesthood in a general sense and applied the principle that we are part of a royal priesthood in Christ Jesus. This evening I'd like for us to focus on the high priest and his garments, and how the high priest reflects, foreshadowed, our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Exodus chapter 28, note then verse number 2, let's read verses 2 down to verse number 4. Exodus chapter 28, verses 2 to 4. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Let's pray. O God, we're thankful that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. And we pray once again that you would help us this evening. Give us an understanding as we study your eternal word. Help us to see the Lord Jesus in all his glory. In his precious name we do pray. Amen. In my Bible, the chapter is titled The Priest's Garments. And it's within this chapter in detail. In fact, also in Exodus chapter 39, there are the details concerning the priestly garment of the high priest, first and foremost. Now, we need to bear in mind the Levites were the descendants of Levi, Jacob's son, Levi, and Genesis 29:34 confirms that. And they were appointed the priestly tribe, God's firstborn, I guess you could say. And Numbers chapter 8, verses 13 to 17 confirms that fact. And it's from the Levites we have the priests, we have the sons of Aaron that specifically were involved in administering the sacrifices. They were the actual priests that offered the sacrifices, where a person brought their sacrifice, and it was Aaron's sons that were the ones that actually sprinkled that blood on the altar, that placed that offering upon the altar. That was their responsibility. And then there were the priests, the sons of Levi, who were involved in the practical portions of the tabernacle. They're involved in the setup and the taking down, transportation of the furnishings within the tabernacle. Now, within this priestly line, God appointed a high priest. Aaron was the appointed first high priest, and the Bible teaches that in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 28. Aaron was appointed the first high priest, and his office was passed on to the eldest son at death. And that was an honorable position. So Aaron and the firstborn and that lineage continued on as the high priest. There was only one high priest at one time. But all of the sons of Aaron, they became the priests that were involved in offering the sacrifices. So it was Aaron's line that had the most honored responsibility of not only leading the temple worship, but also involved in the offering of the sacrifices. So it was only the high priest that could go in and light the lampstand, for example. According to Numbers chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, the high priest could go in and burn incense on the golden altar, but yet we read there in the New Testament that John the Baptist, his father, who was a priest from the line of Aaron, that he was offering up the incense. So something changed over the course of time with that. It was the high priest that had oversight of the bread within the tabernacle. Aaron's sons, they made the sacrifices. They blew the trumpet at given times. And so basically the high priest had a very important responsibility of not only overseeing all of the priests as they were involved in serving within the tabernacle worship, but also the high priest had the honor of honors of going into the holies of holies once a year and sprinkling that blood upon the altar in order to care for the sins of God's people. And it's within the role of a high priest we see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory, in his person and in his word. The difference being that our Lord's origin is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Jewish high priest was from Aaron's family. And there's a vast difference. And there in the book of Hebrews, please, just for a moment, Hebrews chapter 5, the author of this book affirms that very fact. Hebrews chapter 5, for the sake of time, just look at verse number 9 and 10. It reads, concerning our Lord Jesus, in fact, let's read verse 8 as well, 8, 9 and 10. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And within the book of Hebrews, it makes reference to Melchizedek having no beginning of days or end of days. And when Melchizedek met Abraham there in the book of Genesis, I believe it was a manifestation of the angel of the Lord there in the Old Testament, manifestation, a picture of Jesus Christ. He has no beginning of days, no end of days, and Jesus Christ comes of the order of Melchizedek. He is eternal, and the high priest within the Old Testament foreshadowed the coming of Jesus Christ. So as we study the garments of the high priest, we are reminded of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to Exodus chapter 28, the Bible gives us a twofold purpose for these garments. And that's why it's important that we take note of the garment of the high priest. Jesus Christ did not come through the line of Aaron, priestly line. He came from the order of Melchizedek. No beginning or endings of days. But note here in verse number 2 of Exodus chapter 28, the Bible teaches us that these garments, these holy garments for Aaron, were to reflect glory and beauty. They were to reflect God's glory and God's beauty. So they were to be attractive to the sight, and they were to reflect the very glory of God. And it's with that thought in mind that it's important that we take note and spend a few moments looking at these different portions of the priestly garment, and let's see if we can reflect upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. The high priest's clothing there in Exodus chapter 28 verse 2 is referred to as being glorious and beautiful. Our Lord Jesus is our glory. And may God help us to see His glory illustrated with each of these pieces of garments. Note there, we won't follow the order here in verse number 4 where it mentions all the main garments, but we'll basically follow the putting on of the garments and work backwards from within out, and note how each piece of garment in some way reflects the glory of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, the high priest wore a linen coat, a fine linen coat. And there in Exodus chapter 28, verse number 39, please. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 39. It makes reference to this coat. In fact, it's the same coat that the priest would wear, those that ministered within the tabernacle. So this was the first piece of covering of the high priest, and it went over the undergarments. There in verses 42 and 43, it makes reference to the undergarments. They wore special undergarments. Note then verse 42 and 43, and thou shalt make them linen breeches, in other words, undergarments, to cover their nakedness from the loins even to the thighs. They shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in under the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So this linen coat that covered the high priest, first and foremost, covered the undergarments, and the Bible teaches us that those involved within the tabernacle service, the priests, and including the high priest, they wore special undergarments, and that was God's standard. And over those undergarments, the high priest would wear this linen coat. Now, the Mormons today have a special undergarment. And just as a side thought, because they believe that they are the spiritual line of Aaron, that they are a priesthood. At least the Mormon missionaries believe that. And I remember there was a time that myself and I think it was James Herrington, we were door knocking and we met a Mormon. And we asked him, is it true that Mormon missionaries have to wear special undergarment to protect them? And they take that from this passage of Scripture, these special breeches. He said, oh yes, it's true. In fact, I've got a pair on. That's what I'm wearing right now. So there we were. We were honored to speak to this Mormon that was wearing these special white undergarments that looked like glorified basketball shorts. But he said they were very sacred, and all the Mormons wear them, the Mormon missionaries. So they twist the Scriptures, the Word of God, and they apply this principle to themselves. So the next time you have a conversation with a Mormon, ask them about their breeches. Ask them about their undergarments. Have they got their undergarments on to protect them from evil? Anyway, getting back to the point here, the high priest wore a linen coat that covered the body, and this was basically the main white coat that covered the whole body from top to bottom that the priest wore as he offered sacrifices. And this white garment reflects the very glory of Jesus Christ, His purity and His glory. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, it makes reference to our Lord Jesus being transfigured before Peter, James and John. And His garments were white, reflecting His purity, His holiness. And our Lord Jesus is pure. He's holy. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew 5:8 that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there in Revelation chapter 19, please, for a moment. Revelation chapter 19. Concerning the second coming of our Lord, the Bible teaches us that as we return with Him, note here in verse number 14, Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So may God help us to be a people of purity as we note the Lord Jesus in all of His glory, and this high priest, the first main piece of garment that He wore that covered Him from chin to toe was a white linen garment. And then on the top of that, there was a robe. He wore what was referred to as a robe. If you go back to Exodus chapter 28, Exodus chapter 28, and verse number 31, the Bible teaches thus, and thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. So following this white coat, reflecting our Lord Jesus in all of His purity and His holiness, over the white coat there is a blue-coloured robe that covers the white garment. The blue colour reminds us of the fact that Jesus Christ, foreshadowed within this priestly garment, is not of this world. He is eternal, He is from heaven, He was born of a virgin, made flesh, dwelt among us. Heaven came down to us so that we can go up to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus Christ has provided a means to heaven through His death, burial, and resurrection. And the color blue within the Scriptures are in reference to heaven, the eternal realm. And as that high priest wore that blue robe that covered that white coat, He reflected the eternal realm, foreshadowed the eternal one that would become flesh and dwell among us in order to provide redemption so that you and I, by faith, can enter the very presence of God. And the Bible teaches us that on this garment, there in Exodus chapter 28, verse number 33, that beneath upon the hem or the bottom of the garment, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. So there were pomegranates, three different colours that were sewn around the bottom of the blue garment, and intervals with gold bells that made a noise as the high priest fulfilled his responsibility. And I'm mindful of the fact that the white garment reminds us concerning our Lord's purity and our need to be pure, and because one day we'll return with Christ on white horses with pure white garments reflecting His glory. But I'm mindful that here with the blue robe that covered the high priest concerning eternity, and a reminder that we need to keep our eyes upon that which is eternal. And may our clothing, may we be clothed with in such a way that we reflect the fact that we are God's children, and that we belong to Jesus Christ, and we're His ambassadors. And may our dress, the way we present ourselves, reflect the glory of Christ. To reflect that we're not part of this world, that we're just passing through, and that we belong to Jesus Christ. And as we go back to Exodus chapter 28, the Bible also makes reference to an ephod, which was an apron that went over the blue garment. So there is the white coat, then there is a blue garment, then there is what is called an ephod or an apron. We would understand an apron there in chapter 28, please. Note verses 6 to 8. It reads, "And thou shalt make the ephod of gold and blue and purple, of scarlet and fine twine linen, with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the cuirass girdle of the ephod which is upon it, it shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen." So this ephod was an apron that went over this blue robe, and it was placed over the head of the high priest, and it rested upon his shoulders, and it was kept in place by a girdle or a belt. Now this ephod was made out of a number of materials, the Bible teaches us. It had blue, purple and scarlet interwoven within this white base garment, and also pieces of gold were threaded through this garment. And so was the girdle. The girdle was basically what we would call a belt, and that would keep everything together. And it was made out of the same material. But note there in verses 9 and 10, it makes reference to these two stones. "And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on the one stone, and on the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth." So on this ephod, on this apron, on the shoulders, on each side, rested a stone. And engraved on this stone were six tribes of Israel on the one, and six tribes of Israel on the other. There were six names of the tribe of Israel on each side. Because God is divine and He has the power to carry us, because He is all-powerful. And it was simply a reminder to God's people that I am the one that will carry you. I am the one that will keep you. And that was reflected by the names of the tribes being on the shoulder piece of this ephod. And may this be a timely reminder for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Our God is all powerful. Our great high priest is Lord of lords and King of kings. There is nothing impossible for him. And may God help us to keep faith in the fact that God is an all-powerful God. And it's God that carries us. And that was illustrated pictured to God's people as they observed that high priest and they noted these two stones, one on either end, and the names of God's people being on the shoulder piece and reminding God's people that it is God that carries you. And may we be mindful as the people of God, as New Testament saints, that it is God that keeps us. He is one that will sustain us. And we rest upon His able shoulders. He is the all-powerful one. Also, the Bible teaches us that within this ephod there was a breastplate that was made. And that covered the front of the apron, so to speak. And here in Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 to 29, it gives us some detail concerning that. Let's read verse 15. It reads, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work," or skillful work. That's what that word cunning means, to be skillful, skillfully made. "After the work of the ephod thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twine linen thou shalt make it." And look at verse 29. "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. Note that little phrase there in verse 29, where it teaches that Aaron, as he ministers within the temple, he bears on his heart the children of Israel. And so this breastplate with 12 stones, and we don't have time to go into great detail, but there are 12 stones on this breastplate made out of the same materials that the ephod's made out of. Then there are 12 stones that are placed upon this breastplate, and on each different stone is each of the 12 names of the tribes of Israel. And the Bible teaches us that they are purposely placed there upon his heart, upon God's heart. And it was a timely reminder to God's people that the God of Israel cared for his people, and that the people of God are upon his heart. I praise God that I have a God that is not only all-powerful, he can carry my burdens, but he also cares for my soul. He cares for my soul. And that's why 1 Peter 5:7 teaches us, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So we see that the tribes of Israel were upon the shoulder piece of that garment that was worn by the high priest, reminding God's people that it is God that will shoulder them, it is God that will uphold them, but also God's people were on God's heart. They were right there on his chest, close to his heart. And may I remind you that in Christ Jesus, that we are close to God, and God has our best interest in mind, and we are close to his heart as dear children. He loves us, and he cares for us. That's the breastplate. Now, within the breastplate, there was a pouch, and the Bible makes reference to that in Exodus chapter 28, verse number 30. And it was within this that was kept what was referred to as the Urim and Thummim. Note then verse 30, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. The word Urim means light. It means light. And the Thummim, so we don't know what these were. Some think they were some type of stones that somehow God used to direct God's people. We don't know exactly what they were, but they were obviously something tangible. And the word Urim means light. The word Thummim means perfection. Urim, Thummim, light, perfection. God's direction is perfect, is it not? God's direction is perfect. The Urim and Thummim, unusual words, but they have wonderful meanings. That God's direction is enlightening and God's direction is perfect. And somehow the God used this little instrument, or these two instruments, whether they be stones or dices, we don't know. But God used the Urim and Thummim to direct and to guide God's people. And may God help us to stay close to the Lord. May God help us to not stray away from him, that God might direct us, give us light, and give us clear light, perfect light, into his perfect will. It's Jesus Christ that provides us guidance and direction. And we see within this breastplate, we see the fact that there was this Urim and Thummim kept that was used by the high priest to provide guidance for God's people. In verse number 8, as we read earlier, there was a mention of the girdle or the belt that surrounded the ephod. And this belt wrapped around the body of the high priest, it formed a complete circle that reminds us of the fact that Jesus Christ is complete. He is full of grace and truth. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as we allow Jesus Christ to have His will and way in our lives, God's work is a complete work. God is seeking to transform you and I into His blessed image. And I'm thankful for Philippians 1:6, which teaches us, He which has begun a good work will complete it under the day of Jesus Christ. That ethos that went all the way around, that completeness is reflecting the fact that Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of truth, and in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. And as we yield our hearts to Him, God wants to change us and transform us into His blessed image, the one that is full of grace and full of truth. Upon the head of the high priest was what was referred to as a mitre. And there in Exodus chapter 28, please, Exodus chapter 28, verse number 36, 36 to 39 it reads, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, and upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be." Verse 38, "And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord." And verse 39, "And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework." So this mitre, as it's referred to in the scriptures, is what the high priest wore, and it was made out of white linen, and the Bible teaches us that it had an engraving on a plate with an engraving on it that was on the forehead of this head covering that the high priest wore, and it read, "Holiness unto the Lord." A holy crown, picturing for us the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is that Holy One. And He is worthy of holiness. And as that high priest ministered within the tabernacle and within the future temple, as everybody noted the ministry of the high priest, they would see holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. That's our God's chief attribute. That's the first and foremost attribute by which God wants to be known by, His holiness. Beyond His love, beyond His justice, beyond His faithfulness, beyond His dependability, beyond His immutability, beyond His omnipresence, His omnipower, His omniscient knowledge, the chief attribute by which God desires to be known by His holiness. "Be holy, for I am holy." And may God help us to see the value of holiness. God values holiness, because holiness is all about God. It's all about our God. And when you and I fail to appreciate and honor holiness, then we belittle God, because this is the chief attribute by which He desired to be known for, that He is holy. And it's by no coincidence that the high priest wore this plate, "Holiness unto the Lord." Holiness unto the Lord. And our Lord Jesus, who was without sin, became sin for us, that we might become righteous in Christ Jesus. And may God help us to live a holy life. The Lord Jesus lived a holy life. because he was eternal God. May God help us to desire a life of holiness. Now, as far as the regular priests, they wore that coat that we mentioned initially, and they also wore a head coat, and not so much a mitre, but more like a bonnet, most believe, but anyway, a head covering made of white, and also their belt or their girdle was also made of white. That was the regular uniform of Aaron's sons that ministered within the tabernacle. And it's important for us to note that whenever the high priest, in going in once a year to sprinkle that blood upon the altar, he took off, he removed all those beautiful outer garments. And he went in only with his white coat and white head covering and white, I'm not sure about the belt, not sure about that one, how that works, but I think there is a changeover there. So he wears the white coat and he wears a white hat, head covering, and he wears a white girdle. He removes the colourful garment that he wears normally as a high priest, but only when he went in on the Day of Atonement. But it's important for us to understand that God is serious about you and I worshipping Him, and you and I worshipping Him in spirit and in truth. And it's God that made and set the guidelines for His people. And he said to the people of God that you are to make these holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and beauty. See, God is interested in how we worship him. God's not one that just wants us to worship him as we see fit. Now, God wants us to present ourselves unto him as a holy people. Now, neither the high priest or the priest wore any shoes. They were barefooted, which seems unusual to me. And as I think about that, you know, all this attention is given to this garment, but there's no foot covering. But yet I'm mindful of the fact that there was also no flooring in the tabernacle. Just dirt. I think it's to remind us that we have come from dirt. Made from dust, and unto dust we shall return. Our bodies are corrupt. And thank God one day we'll receive an incorruptible body in Christ Jesus. And maybe the reason why that the priests and the high priest wore no shoes was just to keep them humble, and just to remind them that they are dirt, that we are what we are by the grace of God. And may God help us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So in each of these pieces of garments, we have some reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to close with 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, with an encouragement for you and I to be a holy people, holiness unto the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. May God help us to be a people, a people that are sanctified, a holy people. And as people watched and observed and heard the footsteps of the high priest, they noted his steps, they noted his procedures, and they noted the engraving in his forehead, holiness unto the Lord. And if we sincerely desire to live a holy, pure life, then we will be fit, able to be effective in the service of God. May God help us to honour His holiness. May God help us to see that we can't worship God our own way, that we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And each of these pieces within that priestly garment in some way reflected the glory of Jesus Christ. The glory of Jesus Christ. The one that loves us, the one that upholds us, the one that has us on his heart and cares for us. The one that wants to guide us and complete us into his glorious image. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask and